Can you hear me now? See if I went to the right place. I probably didn't even go to the right place, did I? I did. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start with everybody's favorite verse, number 21. I know you have that memorized, but just humor me and go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 21. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray this evening that you would open each and every ear, soften each and every heart. Lord, give me the words to say. I pray that you'd help me, Father, to be the messenger you'd use this night to give us an encouragement, to give us an education. Lord, help us. We can understand what you'd have for us to understand this night. And then, Lord, burden us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And Father, I thank you and I praise you. And I pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible starts off right here. It says, prove all things. You know what we can do? We can prove all things. How can we do that? Well, we can do it with the Bible. Because whether you realize it or not, the Bible has already proved everything we need proved. And if there's something in the future that needs proved, the Bible's already proved that too. It's amazing to me that every once in a while, science catches up with the Bible. I mean, sometimes it takes hundreds of 50s and 200, 300, 400 years, but every once in a while, they catch up to what the Bible says. There are weathermen now that are doing weather reports on the radio and on the television. They get paid big money. And they're not right 50% of the time. And they got all kinds of technology. But if there was a read in the Bible, they'd find out real quick that the north wind driveth away the rain. It doesn't do anything with the snow, but it'll definitely drive the rain away, right? If they'd have been reading their Bible, they'd have found out that there's more water in the rivers of the sky than there are in the rivers on the earth. I don't know if any of you knew that or not, but there's more moisture in the air than there is on this planet. We have what they call jet streams. Anybody ever heard of a jet stream? For years and years, they didn't think there was any water in outer space. And then they discovered that comets, the reason you can see a comet is because the light is reflecting off the tail, which is ice crystals. Where does ice come from? Well, I thought there was no water in space. What does that have to do with anything? I'm just trying to show you some of the things that it's already been proven to us. Before they ever thought that the world was round, Isaiah said it was round.
Right?
Amen. And he hadn't been anywhere but on this planet. He definitely hadn't been in outer space. At least we don't think, anyway. All right, the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. What we're going to find out tonight is we're going to find out what is good, and then we're going to find out how we're supposed to hold fast to what is good. What is good? I'm going to give you three things that I consider what is good. What is good? The truth of God is good. Right? How can we prove that? Well, go to Proverbs chapter 3. I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 30. I was close. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5. The Bible says, every word of God is pure. And then what does it say? He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Who is the he? No. According to the English, he represents the word. Every word of God is pure. Right? He's a shield to put their trust. Do you put your trust in the Word of God? Amen. Well, let me ask a question. Are you saved?
Yes, sir.
Well, here's what it says in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the
Word.
Was the what?
Word.
What was the Word? Well, then apparently what we have here in Proverbs 30, verse 5, just kind of goes along with the Bible, doesn't it? Now go to John 16. John 16. We know that the Word of God is the truth, right? How do we know it's true? Because it's pure. If it's pure, it's got to be true, doesn't it? John 16. When you get to John 16, look at verse number 13. John 16, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Howbeit when He," another one of those He things, right? "The Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will shew you things to come." Is that what it says? So, what do we hold on to? Fast. Well, we hold on to what is good. What is good? The truth of God, which is the Word of God. The truth of God, which is the Spirit of God. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. You probably know where we're going with this, but go there anyway. Some of you are just too smart for me, so. Deuteronomy 32, look at verse number 4. We know that the Word of God is the truth. The Spirit of God is the truth. We're going to find out right here in 32, verse 4, that God Himself is the truth. How can we prove it? Well, that's what we're doing right now. We're proving it. What is good? The truth of God is good. Deuteronomy 30, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. Now, you know this verse, but go there anyway. John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. That's where Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Is that what your Bible says? So what do we have now, brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, we've just discovered, we've proven what is good. What's good? The truth of God. Why? Well, because it's His Word, it's Himself, it's the Holy Ghost, it's the Son of God. You can't go wrong with the truth. It's all around us. We just need to do it. What do we hold fast to? Look at Psalm 118. Psalm 118. We need to hold fast the trust that we have in Christ. Do you trust Him? How much? With everything or just some things? I've read stories about a missionary, a preacher in England. He never had any money, but you know what he did? He prayed it down. And he had all kinds of rewards from God. What did he trust? He trusted in God. He trusted in Christ. He didn't have any food to feed those at the orphanage. He'd get all the boys together. They'd just start praying. Pretty soon, open the door, box of food. Oh, if we could get there, brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, if we could get to the point where we could trust God like they used to trust God. Right? Trust in uncertain riches. I do know one thing about money. It just seems to disappear. Well, I had some yesterday. Where did it go? I had this and this and this and pretty soon. You know what it is nowadays? We got card. We don't even need cash anymore. You just put the card in there, and sometimes they don't even have to give you a receipt because you haven't spent enough. I can remember I was back in the state of Maryland, and when was this? This must have been 76, 1976, when they first came out with the bank cards. And you could get a $5, a $10, $20 bill. Just put it in the machine and give you your numbers. And they had Bank of America started that. And then it just took off. Now every bank has one. Right? Called a debit card. It's going to get to be cashless pretty soon. Psalm 118, look at verse 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. If everybody in America knew that, we'd be much better. Well, the government's going to take care of me. Well, yeah, they will until they run out of money. And they are slowly running out of money. Or I should say quickly run out of money. I remember a long time ago, Doc Rickman said, I can fix all the financial problems of America. I just go into the Treasury Department about 2 o'clock in the morning and just start printing. And just print up until I can't print anymore, and then just give it all out. They ain't worth anything anyway. So. Right? It's just paper. Well, that's what they do. You didn't know that's what they do? We are so foolish. Nahum chapter 1. Do you trust Christ? I don't know. Do you trust Him? Nahum chapter 1. Now, if you know where Daniel is, you're getting real close, okay? You got Daniel, then you got Hosea, right? Amos and Andy. Amos. Obadiah. Jonah. Micah, everybody's favorite. And then you got, Nahum. Nahum chapter 1. If you have the wide margin Cambridge Bible, that would be 923. I like it when I preach in Mexico because everybody has the exact same Bible. And you just tell them what page to turn to and they turn to. Now you all have King James, right? But you don't all have the same page number, do you?
Right.
Nahum chapter 1, what page number do you have?
952.
953? 2. Wow. And we all have the same Bible. Right? Just printed by someone different is all. Alright, Nahum chapter 1, verse number 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knoweth them that trust in Him. We need to hold fast to the trust we have. Why? Because God knows. God knows if you trusted Him. God knows what you count on before you count on Him. Do you go to prayer first or last? Well, I don't know. But think about it. If something comes up, what's the first thing you do? You go to prayer about it? Or you try to figure it out yourself. Well, I can tell you what will happen if you go to prayer first. It will always work out better. Oh, I can fix this. All right, go ahead. Second Timothy chapter 1, we need to hold fast to the truth of God. We need to hold fast to the trust we have in Christ. Did He save you? Did He? I mean, did He save you completely? And you never have to worry about it again. Is that true? Well, you would think after something like, tremendous like that happened, we'd just trust Him all the time for everything. Because He did a good job of salvation, didn't He? Praise God. We ought to trust Him with our health. We ought to trust Him with our finances. We ought to trust Him with our family. We ought to trust Him with our friends. Our future. We ought to trust Him. How much do you trust Him? How many times do you have to prove Him that He's trustworthy? How many times do you have to prove that the Word of God is pure?
Right. Right.
I mean, I don't know. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Did someone tell you about the Lord? And did you get saved? It was the Word of God that did it, right? That brought you to the trust Christ, Romans chapter 8. You know what we can do if we trust Christ? We don't have to worry about ever failing. Romans chapter 8. What do you mean, preacher? Well, let's look in Romans chapter 8. It'll kind of be self-explanatory. Romans chapter 8. Look at verses 38 and 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. People say you can lose your salvation. Well, not according to my Bible. My Bible says nothing. Is that what it says? So that must mean nothing. The Bible says, Romans 8:38-39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what can separate us?
Nothing.
Nothing. And I give you a list just in case you didn't know what nothing was. Right? And yet there are still people that want to argue with you about you can lose your salvation. Well, you go ahead and lose yours. I can't lose mine. And the people that tell you that have never lost their salvation.
How about that?
You know what I'm real glad of? I'm real glad of that I don't, if I don't walk the straight and narrow, I don't slip off into hell.
Right. Thank God.
Because I just couldn't do it. Lately I've wandered so far away. How did I get here? Why did I stray? And can I ever find my way back to your sanctuary? Why is it I continue to do everything else but come to you? Christian, why? You don't trust him? Last but not least, on this first part here, let's look at our godliness. 1 Timothy 6. We're supposed to prove what? The truth of God, the trust we have in Christ, and our godliness. We're supposed to hold fast to the truth of God. Hold fast to the trust we have in Christ. Hold fast to the godliness that God has given you. He's given it to you. You weren't godly. In fact, you were totally ungodly. You were against God. But you got saved, right? First Timothy 6, verse number 6. I guess I ought to turn there and see what it says, right? Does it say godliness and contentment? Is that what it says? Godliness, contentment is what? Is that true? Well, you don't think it's true. Why would you say that, preacher? Well, because I'm looking at you. Nothing personal, you understand, but godliness with contentment, it is great gain. But we're always trying to get something different than godliness. I mean, I got a message I preach on godliness, but that's all kinds of different things about that. All right, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Are you holding fast to the truth of God? Are you holding fast to the trust you have in Christ? Are you holding fast to the godliness? How did you get it? Well, I'm going to show you. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We need to hold fast to this. You know what your Bible tells you? That you can be godly if you choose to be. Look what it says there starting in verse number 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Here's the problem with the 5, 6, and 7. Everybody wants to pick and choose what they're going to be diligent in. And you're supposed to start with number what? How about start with the first one? What's the first one? You're supposed to be diligent in what? Faith. Right? Because if you're not diligent in your faith, you'll never be diligent in your virtue. And if you're not diligent in your faith, we'll just go down the list. It's got to work that way. We as Christians, and I use this term inclusively, we've tried to take shortcuts to Christianity. It won't work. There is God's way, and then there's the wrong way. And that just about covers it all. Well, I'm going to do it my way. Well, go ahead. I mean, you can do it your way. Go right ahead. I do know this. When you want to do it God's way, He'll be waiting for you. And I know He just shakes His head in heaven. I know He does this. What are you doing? You're saved. You don't have to do that. Maybe we ought to pay attention to the verse that says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." First Timothy chapter 4. Let's hold fast to the truth of God. Let's hold fast to the trust we have in Christ. Let's hold fast to the godliness that God has given us. 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse number 7. 1 Timothy 4, verse number 7. "But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little." Does it profit?
Yeah.
What does it profit? A little bit, right? But watch this now. "But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." So, if we try to be godly, not only do we profit down here, but we profit in heaven. If you try to be bodily exercise, you're just going to profit down here. Mr. Universe is not going to have Mr. Universe body when he gets to heaven.
Amen. Amen.
If he makes it.
Amen.
And the two large ladies who call themselves two tons of fun, it's a rock group. Anyway. Well, you heard about the man was so large he got on the scale and the scale said, "One at a time, please." Well, you'll get that later. But when we get to heaven, all of us are going to have basically the same body. A glorified body.
Amen.
Praise God. I won't have to ever say, "Huh?"
Yeah.
Again.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. My back won't hurt, my leg won't hurt, my head won't hurt. My wife will no longer have a pain in the neck.
Amen.
Well, you... What do we need to do? We need to exercise... Do you know how to exercise God? How many people know how to exercise? Anybody know how to do a jumping jack? Anybody know how to do jumping jacks? Deep knee bend? Anybody know how to do deep knee... Running in place? Anybody can... All right, what about some godly exercises? What could you do? Well, we could pray. That'd be a godly exercise, right? How about coming to church? That'd be a good exercise, wouldn't it? Reading the Bible? Well, that's just three simple ones, and that seems like the three toughest ones. Right? Try not to hurt yourself. All right, Titus chapter 2, just when you thought it was safe. Titus chapter 2, verse number, let's try verse number 11 and 12. What should we do, brothers and sisters of Christ? We need to prove all things. We need to hold fast that which is good. What's good? The truth of God. the trust you have in Christ, and the godliness that God has given you. Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to some men. Is that what it says? It says all men. You mean those dirty, rotten sinners out there? Yeah, the dirty, rotten ones. Now, I don't know how many of you know this, but I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to give you a little. I'm not bragging about myself. I'm ashamed of this, but I'm going to have to tell you anyway. From age 15 to age 40, I was a drunkard and a dope addict. And everything else that was wrong, I did. And I reveled in it. I bragged about it. I wouldn't have trusted me as far as I could throw you. And I'm talking about the biggest person in here. I lied and I cheated. And I broke up families. And I caused harm to people. I was wicked. But I come to the Lord Jesus Christ one day and I said, I am so sorry. I got saved.
Amen.
And I'm just real glad that the church that I got saved in, they didn't shun me.
Amen.
When I got saved, they accepted me.
Amen.
Hey, I was still a rat. I was just a saved rat. Right? Was I trustworthy? I wasn't trustworthy with nothing. But God worked on me, and God worked on me, and God worked on me. And I let God work on me. And I watched other Christians. And you know what they were? They were compassionate, and they were kind, and they were forgiving. And it helped me. And I try to be that way myself now. It breaks my heart. I have five children. Four of them are saved, and they're not even going to church. My oldest son's not saved. I tried to witness to him back in 2000, and he said, I don't want nothing to do with it. I just want to live my life. I don't even know where he's at now. I lost track of him back in 2009. Well, what's the problem? You know what the problem is? Wickedness. I just wonder if any of us have chased someone away from the love of God because we thought more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Right? What sin would keep you out of heaven? Any of them? All of them? So who's the worst sinner in here? I mean, does it matter? Shouldn't matter, should it? We all got saved by grace, didn't we? All right, we found out some things that we've proven tonight, the truth of God, the trust in Christ and our godliness. How are we going to hold them fast? How? Well, let's find out. We're going to look at three things here. Isaiah 26. We're going to hold them fast, first of all, in our mind. You ever heard that? You ever see that commercial? Got a skillet on an oven. Or skillet on a stove with a flame. And it's crackling. This is drugs. That's what the commercial used to say. This is drugs. Then it had an egg. And they cracked the egg and threw it in the skillet. This is your brain on drugs. And it just cooked. And I can tell you, I could stand here in front of you tonight and say that's exactly what happened to this brain. Like I told you before, I have years in my life that I don't even remember. Years. I mean, every once in a while my children will say something, well, Dad, do you remember? No clue. I have absolutely no memory at all of it. Oh, a little won't hurt. Liar. Or you can stop any time. Liar. Because if you could, you would. Well, I only drink beer. Well, then you're a fool. Well, I have just a little bit of wine. You're still a fool. Apparently, you ain't reading your Bible. Did Jesus drink wine? Yeah, he drank wine straight from the grape.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, I just take a little for my stomach's sake. Liar. Praise God. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. We're supposed to keep track of things that we've held fast to, this truth of God, the trust we have in Christ, our godliness. How? In our mind. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. If you're thinking about what God wants you to think about, you won't have any trouble at all in your life. But when you start wandering, and your mind will wander, here's what has happened to some of you. You've been praying, all of a sudden you have some wicked thought come across your mind. You'd be praying, all of a sudden you fall asleep. You'd be reading your Bible, and you couldn't say what you read at the top of the page because you made it to the bottom with three or four interruptions in between. I mean, it's common for all of us. What is it? Our mind is not right. We're supposed to do just like it told you in Romans. What does it tell you in Romans? That you're supposed to have the renewing of your mind. Right? That old record needs to be jump-started into something different. Praise God. You know what? This young lady got up and sang tonight. I envy her. Totally envy her. She never had any of that stuff that I had. Now, I know she had things just like all of us. We got to watch our cynicism, our skepticism, our aggravation. Well, if you're sitting here tonight and you've been saved since you were little, praise God, praise God, praise God. You need to be thanking Him all day long.
Amen.
That you don't have any baggage. Listen, every one of us has a sea of life in front of us. You see, I put all my baggage, I put it all out there a long time ago, but it's coming back. And when that ship comes to shore, I have to unload it. And I have lots of ships out there. You that got saved, you young men here get saved, you have less ships out there than I do. And some of you don't have any ships out there. I mean, we need to hold fast in our mind. What am I thinking about? What am I supposed to think about? Well, Philippians chapter 4, I'll show you. You know, God, He didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of love, right? And a sound mind. Isn't that what He gave you? That's what it says in 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, Philippians 4. Philippians 4, we'll start in verse 8. Philippians 4, verse number 8. You want to know what you're supposed to think about? I'm going to give it to you. Write this down. Finally, brethren, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What are you supposed to think on? You know what I've noticed in my travels around the United States? And if this is about you, well then, I'm glad. I've been sitting with people in their cars and they turn on the radio and I listen to some idiot who's not even saved. His name is Rush Limbaugh. And all he does is tell me about the problems that are in life. Never gives me a solution. Never. Never. Doesn't tell me what I can do about it. Just lambast somebody else. It's always their fault. Well, pick one of them. Sean Hennessy. Any of them. Are they saved going to heaven? Well, according to my Bible, it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If they're not saved, don't listen to them. You don't got nothing else to do? Slip in a CD of Bible and listen to someone read the Bible to you. It might change your life. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hennessy. What? You ever hear him talk about Jesus Christ on them shows? Never. Why? Because they don't know him. How are you going to think on things that are true when you listen to a liar? How are you going to think on things that are pure when you talk to someone who has a wicked, wicked heart? How are you going to think of things that are a good report when they're telling you all the bad things that are going on? How many of you believe Jesus Christ is in charge? Well, then what does it matter?
Right. Right.
Well, think about it. Is he in charge? Does he know President Obama's in office? Does he know he's doing wrong? Is he going to take care of it someday? Praise God. I wish it was today, but it's not today. Listen, this is 2013. Can you believe it? I mean, think about it. 2013. We should have been out of here years ago. But that's not what the Lord wants. I might not like what he wants, but I got to get myself in the position where I want what he wants. Because whatever he does is always going to be right. He doesn't care about my opinion. Not one time in my Christianity, never in my Christianity, has God ever said, Brother Dean, what do you think? I mean, never. I mean, I'm shocked. Because, like, I have an opinion, pal. I just straighten this up like that. But that, he doesn't... Well, aren't you the same way? Kind of reminds me of Job. Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? I looked around. You weren't there. Where were you when I told the hail to stay in reserve until the day of judgment? Where were you? When I told the sea to back up? We need to realize, just like Job did, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm just going to let you take care of it. We need to hold fast in our mind what we know. We can trust Christ, we can be godly, and we have the truth. Right? How else are we supposed to hold fast? Psalm 139. I know we looked at it last night, but let's look at it again. It was so good. Psalm 139. We need to hold fast things in our H-E-A-R-T. What's that spell? H-E-A-R-T. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Lord, I want my heart to be full of the truth of God. I want my heart to have the trust of Christ in it. Lord, I want my heart to be godly. I don't want to have a fleshly heart anymore. I want to have a godly heart. I don't want to have a hard heart. I want to have a heart that's malleable, that's changeable by you, and simply by your word, if nothing else. What an opportunity we have. Each and every time we come to church, we could be changed for the better. What do we have to do? We just have to let God do it. Seems easy enough, right? Psalm 119. Look at verse number 11. You know it, I know it, we all know it. I know you got Psalm 119 memorized, but just go there anyway. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Is that what it says? Think about it. A man after God's own heart, what did he do? He hid God's word in his heart. Do you know the Ten Commandments? That would be like a yes or no question. Okay, let's say you don't know all of the Ten Commandments. Let's say you just know, let's pick three or four of them. How many of you know, thou shalt not kill? All right? Are you killing anybody? Well, let's take it like the Lord took it. Do you have anger against someone without a cause? Well, I mean, we just have to go by Scripture, right? So apparently we're not keeping that commandment. Okay. So let's go with another we might be able to do. How about, are we bearing false witness against anybody? We're not doing that, are we? We're just not telling the whole truth, right? What? If it's not the whole truth, what is it? If it's not 100% true, then it must be a lie. Right? Okay, now, that seems to be a tricky one too. Let's go to the next one. We'll just do the simple one. We won't get into the real heavy ones like love God with all your heart. Yeah. All right, how about thou shalt not steal? You don't steal, do you? This is no. It's like a universal thing. This is no. This is yes. This is, I don't know. All right, let me ask you a question then, since you don't steal. You, when you go to work, you give your boss your full 8 hours every day, right? You don't take extra for lunch. You never leave early. You never arrive late. You never take pencils or envelopes or pieces of paper. You know what the definition of stealing is? Taking something that does not belong to you. Now, I know this is going to be kind of maudlin here, but when I was in ninth grade, the family moved three times in my ninth grade year. So I was real, no wonder I never learned algebra. Anyway, but we moved to a city in California called Los Banos, which is the baths. And the school was so crowded that they had split sessions. Some of the kids went to school from 8 to 12, and some kids went to school from 1 to 5. I just happened to be the ones that went from 1 to 5. So on the way to school, I would walk to school. It was only about a mile and a half. And I would check every phone. In them days, they had phone booths. I know some of you guys don't realize that. There was a thing called a phone booth. Anyway, so on my way to school, on both sides of the road, there was like 20 or 30 phone booths. And I'd walk over there and I'd pull the little refund thing, right? The little clicker, and then I open up the little thing, and I'd find change in there. And I, every day, I'd get enough money to buy my lunch. But you know what the Lord convicted me much later? That wasn't your money. Well, it wasn't, was it? Whose money was it? Probably the phone company. So, this is how my mind sometimes is strange. I was making a phone call one time, and for some reason, it just didn't work. And I got frustrated. So I pushed, them days you could push the thing like that two or three times, and an operator would come on. I said, I just put a dime in, and I never got my call. She said, well, you can make another call. I said, I don't have any more dimes. That was my last dime. She said, well, give me your address. We'll send you a check. So I gave them my address, and they sent me a check for a dime. It must have cost them $3 or $4 just to... smallest check I ever got. I got a check for a dime from Pacific Telephone and Telegraph. Brothers and sisters in Christ, how is that heart of yours? Here's what David said. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, you know some scripture, don't you? What are you doing with it? Are you obeying it? If God says, thou shalt not, do you agree with him? And do you think about what you're doing? Because he sure enough is. The Bible says he ponders our goings. He wonders sometimes, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? You don't have to do that. Has God taken good care of you?
Yes, sir.
Ephesians chapter 6, has God taken good care of you? Well, we're supposed to hold fast in our mind. We're supposed to hold fast in our heart. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 5 and 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. If I could get to the point, and perhaps you would have the same problem I have, if I could get to the point where everything I did, I would absolutely make sure I was doing it for God. Wouldn't matter what it was. I'm going to the refrigerator, look and see if I get something to eat. Lord, help me. I'm going to the store. Lord, help me. I'm going to work. Lord, help me. I'm going to sleep. Lord, help me. I'm going to get out of bed. Lord, help me. Right? That's like the prayer the lady was praying one time. She said, Lord, so far today, I haven't been judgmental. I haven't been argumentative. I haven't been cynical. I haven't been critical. But Lord, I'm about to get out of bed. So help me with the rest of the day. All right, let's throw this last one here. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We need to hold fast these things. The truth of God, the trust in Christ and our godliness. We need to hold them fast in our mind. We need to hold them fast in our life. And that will automatically work it into be our life. Romans 6 verse 4. You know it, I know it, we all know it. If this is true about you, if you have been raised up from the dead, like Christ was, if you're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to be new and improved. Romans 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Aren't we? Aren't we supposed to be Christians? Are we or aren't we? Are you an example of a Christian? Well, 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, let's find out if you are. 1 Timothy 4. This is another one of those lists. And I can tell you what you need to do. You need to go by the list. In order. Like when you think on these things, start thinking about things that are true right off the bat. What's true? The Bible.
Yes, sir.
Because if you think about things that are true, you'll definitely think about things that are just, and things that are pure, and things that are honest, and things that are lovely, and things that are of good report. But what's it say here? 1 Timothy 4, let's look at verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Is that you? Well, let's start off. How are we going to do it? In word. Do you talk like a Christian? When you have a conversation with someone today, how many of you had conversations with someone today? Just about everybody, right? Was there a time in your conversation where you just you didn't even think about it, but all of a sudden you just said, "Well, praise the Lord." Did you do that? Were you out in the public when you did that? Or are you talking to another Christian? You'd be surprised how many times, for example, I'm at Walmart today, you know, everybody's favorite store. And I'm talking to the lady, you know, and I'm a pretty friendly guy. And we got to talking, and all of a sudden I said, praise God. She said, that's right.
Amen.
And I said, I'm going to heaven. She said, me too. So that was just kind of neat. And I tried to do that. I had a pastor tell me this way back, it must have been 99. I first started on the road 97. But anyway, I was in a little town of Missouri, Steele, Missouri. Just a white spot in the road. But anyway. And that pastor, about every other sentence was, well, praise God. It didn't matter what you were talking about. We have had terribly hot weather today. Yeah, praise the Lord. What? I got such a terrible headache. Praise God. Well, my Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Watch what it says. Who's it concerning? It's concerning you. When I first got saved, my favorite hymn was The Service of the King. I'm so happy in the service of the King. With peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. What about it? Are you an example in word? Example in conversation? Now what does that mean? That means your life, the way you act and interact and react with people. You don't do what murmuring and complaining when you're driving your car and someone cuts in front of you, or do you just gently slow down and let them move in ahead of you? Because after all, you're not in a hurry. Right? Praise God. You know, I got to be real careful because, listen, I have a 32-foot motorhome, so it's not like I can sneak in on anybody, right? But on my motorhome, I got like scriptures on both sides and Jesus saves on the front. So I have to be careful because people are going to automatically know that I'm saved. So I can't be doing anything like when people scoot in front of me on the highway and then slow down. If you're going to go slower, stay behind me. Right? So I got to keep reminding myself that my testimony is my motorhome. Right? Maybe that's why some of you don't have scripture on your car.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Well, just an idea. All right, it says in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Here's what we can do if you want to do this. Start with number one word and see if you can go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And say, now, Lord, I want to be an example Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in my word, no matter who I'm around. I want my words to be edifying. I don't want them to be bitter. I want my words to exhort someone. I don't want them to be a burden. I want to bless. I want to be a help, not a hindrance with my word. Help me. That's what the Lord will do. If you have a desire to be helped, He'll help you. And then you can be an example of the believers in word. And then maybe next week, if you get the word down, if you don't, keep going until you get it. And then you can work on your conversation and your charity. And just go down the list. But we need to hold fast to these brothers. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. In your mind, in your heart, in your life. Heads bowed, eyes closed.